Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right. Well, hello, America. Welcome to hour two of the big show. Great to have you with us today. A lot going on around the Fruited Plain. And by the way, Senator Ted Cruz is going to be here a little bit later on in the show. Mark Lotter from the Trump campaign. Great to have our team back with us. Grace Baker, as we announced in the last hour, just back from the honeymoon. She's a newlywed. And you have the glow about you, Grace Baker.
Aw, thanks.
It's noticeable.
Thank you.
Our good friend Joe Thordeson, who hosts the Tool Show on the Weekend Home Improvement Show on KWAM, our flagship in Memphis, just sent you some marriage advice. Count to 20 before you tell your spouse what you really think.
I think that's pretty good advice. Take a deep breath. Should I say this out loud?
That's good. Well, look, that may be good advice for me and the callers today. I was a little irate in the last hour. All right, so there you go. If you have marriage advice for Grace, give us a call, 844-747-8868. In the meantime, I want to go right to the Liberty University Newsmaker line, a good friend of this program and a great American, one of the best journalists out there, Bill O'Reilly. BillO'Reilly.com is the website, and I didn't realize this, but folks, you can pre-order Bill's next book, Killing the Mob. It's out in May, but you can pre-order now at BillO'Reilly.com. Bill, I got to tell you something. Maybe with the premium membership, can you throw in a free bookcase?
You know, we're throwing in lots of free stuff. If people want to sign up for BillO'Reilly.com and get what I think is the toughest, fairest news presentation on television, you'll be well rewarded, Todd. Thanks for having me in. I just want to tell you that the reason that Killing the Mob is coming out in May, I usually do one book a year in the fall, but Killing Crazy Horse, the book that's out now, is going crazy. It's making so much money for the publisher, and you know how greedy these people are. You got to get that book out in May. I said, all right, you know, I'll do you a solid. We're coming out with it, but Killing Crazy Horse, as we discussed before, a very big bestseller, and it remains so.
And you know what's also exploding is your viewership. It's phenomenal, but people really are they're in desperate need of just fair and balanced coverage, Bill, and it's just hard to find, and clearly you're doing that.
Yeah, I don't know so much about the balance part anymore. Certainly I did that on the Fox News Channel for more than 20 years. But my presentation now is so fact-based, I don't feel a need to bring in anybody that's going to give me a point of view that departs from the facts. And unfortunately, what cable television has devolved into is this kind of, well, yeah, we're going to have somebody say one thing, but we have to have somebody say quite something else, and I don't need that. I'm basically looking to bring the best information I can to the folks. And we now have millions of people going into BillO'Reilly.com, unprecedented for an internet news service.
It's incredible. And we've seen the same thing, not to your, you know, massive levels, but we have seen so many people coming to us looking for that information they're not getting in other places. And it's needed. Your voice is needed out there, and people want to know what you think about. And I got to tell you, on KWAM, your morning commentary and the update, it's huge. People love that stuff.
Yeah, we and I appreciate you guys carrying us. We're about 300 stations now, and we're doing really well with that Paul Harvey type presentation for 15 minutes every day. And the combination of radio and television brings quite a pop into the daily news gathering process. And I have predicted, I have a column right now called on BillO'Reilly.com. You can, and that's free. Anybody can go in there and read the column. It's a smug world after all. And I'm predicting in the next year the almost total collapse of television news, network and cable, when the Trump show leaves. What are you going to replace it with? Dancing with the felons? I don't know what you're going to do, but it's all been about Trump for 4 years, and now there's going to be no more Trump. They'll try to inject him, but, you know, Americans are going to say enough.
Yeah, I know. I think you're absolutely right about that. You know, speaking of the election, David Limbaugh yesterday tweeting out, you know, it's time to release the Kraken. Where is the Kraken? Dinesh D'Souza just a little while ago said, okay, where is the Moab, the mother of all bombs? You know, let's get a move on here. You're putting on your prognosticator hat, where do you see all of this going in the next few weeks?
Well, my advice to the Trump administration is to continue investigating voter fraud. I think that's absolutely necessary because the press is not going to do it. But I would add something to it. I would add analytics. I would hire the best analytic firm in the world to go into Michigan and to Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Nevada, Georgia, those states in particular, and analyze the vote and compare it to 4 years ago and say, you know, what are the mathematical odds of leading by 600,000 votes in Pennsylvania on election night and then losing by 45,000? Well, do the analytics on it. That way you'll be able to present a very clear picture to the American citizen of what I believe is corruption. I do believe that the election in these places was not run in an honest way. The problem is, for the Supreme Court to overturn or stay the election, you would need a dramatic smoking gun that everybody could see. Because the court can't do it on a maybe, on a speculative, can't even do it on math. But if Donald Trump wants to run again, and I believe he does in 4 years, he needs that analytic. He needs to say to the American people, I'm going to step aside for the good of the country. I don't want a civil war here, but I'll be back. And if he does that, he'll be in good shape going forward.
I mean, what are you hearing from your sources inside the White House? I know you've got great sources inside. Are you hearing anything that gives you pause to say, okay, here's the direction they're going?
No, it's chaos right now. You know, he's hearing 15 different opinions every hour on the hour. He knows the odds of him staying in the White House are maybe 100-1. He knows that. So now they're trying to figure out what the strategy is. And there's, you know, a Hail Mary if tomorrow Georgia comes back and overturns their count and gives the state to Donald Trump, then things change. But I don't expect that to happen.
Mm. You know, Bill, we've been watching the hearings today up at Senate Judiciary, Facebook, Twitter. You got Blumenthal out there blatantly, just openly calling for them to deplatform conservatives like, you know, the Steve Bannon, Gateway Pundit, all these websites. Then you've got Biden announcing that Richard Stengel is going to be a part of his transition team. This is the guy that wrote the anti-free speech op-ed in The Washington Post. This is very concerning stuff that's coming down the pike as far as censorship in America goes.
But it's nothing new, Todd. As
no,
you know,
not.
You've been following this story closely. And this is a continuation of the fascist element of the progressive left. You know, just because you're liberal and left doesn't mean you're not a fascist. I mean, the official name of the Nazi party in Germany was National Socialism. That's what the name of the party was. And we have seen this now for years. They don't want people to be able to express opinion contrary to theirs. And not only are they trying to stop it in the Facebook and Googles and all that, but they're trying to cancel you. We saw that last week. We're drawing up a list of anybody who worked for Trump or helped Trump, and you guys can't work anymore. We're gonna punish you. Now, all of that is good news for conservative Americans because everyone knows that's a horror. That's terrifying. And that's why the Democrats lost, I think it's going to be 13, 14 seats in the House. And that's why the Senate, I believe, will stay in Republican hands. Because Americans, they're just very, very wary about these crazy people like Blumenthal.
Oh, yeah.
And if it hadn't been for COVID, I believe Donald Trump would have walked easily over Joe Biden. But COVID threw everything into chaos. A lot of terrified people not knowing very much. You know, said, well, let me give somebody else a chance. You know, That vote was significant.
Well, it was. And even in spite of all the chaos, you've got huge Republican wins in places where Republicans haven't won. You know, and looking at, you know, Southern California, they took back Orange County, picked up some seats out there in California, also in New York State. And, you know, they're not really talking about Max Rose going down to defeat with the in Staten Island. So I thought, look, I think overall it was a good election cycle for Republicans. And let's see how this thing plays out with the vote count.
Yes. And again, it's important for Americans to know if there was corruption in high-profile places like Philadelphia. Very, very important. And you see, of course, the press doesn't want any of that. And that's why I believe that Americans are going to, they've come to a point now where they go, you know, I'm not going to watch ABC, CBS, and NBC anymore. I have stats in my column on BillO'Reilly.com. The week of the vote, the most important news week in 4 years, okay, the viewership on NBC, CBS, and ABC for their special election coverage was catastrophically low. That's the indicator.
Bill, we're going to have to leave it there. BillO'Reilly.com. Folks, so many great resources there. Get yourself a membership and pre-order a copy of Bill's new book coming out in May. Bill, always good having you on the show.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving.
Likewise. Bill O'Reilly, folks, a great American patriot. Can I say something? I want to tell you about Bill O'Reilly. He taught me a great lesson. Without him knowing, he taught me a great lesson. I want to tell him this too, you know, on the phone, but I'll tell it to you guys. So years ago, before Facebook really exploded onto the scene and Twitter exploded, I was this was back in 2005 when I just started working at Fox News Channel. And I noticed that O'Reilly drove every single thing he did, he drove people to BillO'Reilly.com. So he didn't have to worry about Facebook, didn't have to worry about Twitter. Everything was directed at his website. And as a result of that, Bill O'Reilly doesn't have to worry about the censorship. He doesn't have to worry about getting blocked anywhere because all of his supporters are on his website. And we modeled Bill O'Reilly's formula. It's a winning formula. And that's why we encourage all of you folks, go hang out with us at toddstearns.com because you're not going to be censored there. You know, we have all of our great resources here from our podcast. If you miss the show, you can go and listen to the show. If you want to read some of our stories, we've got our stories there. Everything is there just for you on our website, so you don't have to worry about Facebook or Twitter or joining whatever new social media platform is coming up. I think I joined something called MeWe. Are you guys familiar with that? I think Grace Baker is shaking her head. No, I think it's for older people, Grace. That's what I think it is. But I haven't done the TikTok. I'm not sure what that's all about. Seems inappropriate to me. I don't know. I'm just kidding. All right, look, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. What do you think? I mean, would you, if things do not work out here for the president, would you like to see Donald Trump make a run for it in 2024? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Have you heard about CNN, the most profane name in news? These people are unbelievable. Esquire magazine. Claire, do we have our dramatic music ready to go at the click? All right, hang tight. We're going to do a dramatic reading, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't done many of these, but Grace Baker, fresh off of her honeymoon excursion to lovely Charleston, South Carolina, will be reading the lady parts, and I will be reading the man parts. And that just sounded really bad, didn't it? Did it not?
Just keep going. Just ignore.
Okay,
keep
just going. We're just going to plow right through this.
Yes.
Okay, that's inappropriate, too. So, look, here is the deal. CNN giving an exclusive to Esquire magazine, talking about what it was like at election night. the oral history of CNN's election week, and it is quite dramatic. As a matter of fact, many have been comparing it to the Battle at Normandy. So let's take a crack. We're going to start with Grace Baker portraying Dana Bash, chief political correspondent. This, ladies and gentlemen, the oral history of CNN's election week.
It was a complete roller coaster, and we prepared for that. We took our Dramamine, and we knew it was going to be wild.
Now reading the part of Van Jones, Todd Starnes. After Tuesday night, then you just get dropped into this endless, timeless hell loop of being on air, trying to keep up with what's going on, watching this epic performance of John King at the wall. Sometimes a wedge of pizza appears in front of your face or a Diet Coke, and then they say, you got to take that away because you're going to be on air. And then you look up, but now it's another meal, and 4 hours have gone by. You're trapped in this hell of unknowing. And over time, my spirits began to rise as our numbers got better in places like Georgia and the slow kind of crawls in Pennsylvania.
Borger, I drank a pint of coffee every morning and all during the day. Then I switched to Diet Cokes in the afternoon. I was hoping somebody, anybody, would go to Starbucks.
Yes.
We do have an excellent coffee maker that makes Starbucks black coffee. And you put some milk in it with one little bit. And it may not be a venti skim latte, but it's very good.
Oh, it's delicious. Thank you, Wolf Blitzer. I know I look like I eat a lot, but actually I don't. In the morning, my tradition around election times, I'll have an egg and cheese bagel in the morning because it fills me. So I can go the rest of the day after that. They were buying these Kind energy bars. The peanut butter ones are great. And so I would just keep two of them behind the wall. Can we just stop? We're going to just bring down the music. No, let's have the music go. These people are nuts. We've got more of this.
Oh, it goes on and on and on.
We have pages of this. I mean, these people are acting as if they've been at, like, war.
In the bunker.
Oh, my gosh. Wolf Blitzer, this is crazy. Hold on, I got to read this again. Wolf Blitzer, where is that? We got to play the music here. We got to, Claire, we've got to go big here in our dramatic reading, and we're going to do more of this later on. So Blitzer, he says, I was hoping somebody would go to Starbucks. We do have an excellent coffee machine that makes Starbucks black coffee, and you put some milk in it with one Splenda, and it may not be a venti skim latte, but by golly, it's very good. Very good.
Thank goodness for that coffee maker.
These people. CNN, the most profane name in news. We're going to get to more of this. The dramatic reading from Esquire, their exclusive, the oral history of CNN's election night. I feel very uncomfortable using the term oral anywhere around that CNN crew. Got to take a break here, pay some bills, and go throw up. 844-747. Thank you, Grace Baker. 8860. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us. Today, busy Tuesday around here, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. Let's go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. A lot of controversy and chaos in the state of Georgia. With us on the Newsmaker line from Georgia's 11th Congressional District, our good friend Congressman Barry Loudermilk. Congressman, great to have you on the show today.
Oh, Todd, it's great to be with you today. It's quite an interesting time in our nation as well, especially in Georgia.
You know, it really is. And what's the saying over you saying, all eyes, but all eyes are on Georgia as you guys go through this recount. I'm very interested to know what happened in Floyd County, where they found 2,600 votes that were not tallied. And it looks like the president got several hundred votes. additional votes there.
Yeah, I'm actually in Washington, D.C., of all places right now, and I found out about it yesterday. Apparently, it was a copy. Now, in Georgia, we have the electronic voting machines, but they do print out a hard copy ballot that you then run through a scanner, but the data from the actual voting machine is usually transferred over the Internet, but if you have locations that don't have a good VPN connection or something, they'll actually deliver those via thumb drive. And apparently, this is a thumb drive that just got set aside. Scary that could happen. But from what I'm hearing from our sources on the ground, it's probably legitimate. But this is just another instance of we've got to do better in our elections. I mean, all the way around. It's just another instance of an irregularity. And it shows how you can exploit the systems as well.
Now, the president has been making a pretty valid argument, in my estimation, that, fine, you can recount, but if you're not checking those signatures, then you're not going to be able to catch the votes that might have been cast fraudulently. Where do you stand on that?
Well, he's exactly right. And in Georgia, we have always had this precedent that you compare the signature on the ballot to the signature of the voter's registration. Okay, that shows the validity of the person that registered is the person who is the voter. However, the Secretary of State, without any coordination with the Georgia legislature or the congressional delegation, went into an agreement after negotiating with the Democrats that they would change for this election. They went into a consent decree to where they're only going to compare the signature on the ballot to the signature on the application for the absentee ballot, not your registration. So if you intercepted that application and you applied fraudulently for someone else, all they're doing is comparing the signature to the application. And the Secretary of State, of his own will, even after talking to us and we told him, do not do this, he decided early on in the year to send a letter to every registered voter, basically sending them an application for absentee voting. So anyone could have captured a number of those letters, fraudulently filled out the application, and then when the ballot comes in, they're just comparing it to the signature from the application for the absentee ballot, not the original registration. And there is litigation going on of whether he could legally do that or not on the side, but that's kind of hurting us in our efforts to verify legitimate voters.
And he's hurting his own party, which is the great irony here. Brad Raffensperger is allegedly a Republican. This makes no sense. He's making, quite frankly, what I believe to be unfounded accusations that Lindsey Graham was trying to strong-arm him. Are you buying into any of that?
I do not, and I've read some of what Lindsey Graham said, and there's nothing strong-arming right there. Just telling you, when he has basically early on sided with the Democrats, not including Republicans, in his decision, you're sitting there thinking, look, now we're putting all of our trust to have a valid and truthful, honest election in your hands, and now we're going to do a hand recount. We need to make sure that that's done with integrity. Say, look, you've got to do better than what you've done already to this point. And I think that's what Lindsey was saying is, look, you've got to do better in this recount than what you were doing leading up to it that caused a lot of these problems. And I don't think what Lindsey did was out of line. It was basically similar to some letters that we have sent to him. We sent a letter asking that he do a hand recount, not just a machine recount. Some of our members of the Georgia delegation, some have even asked for his resignation. So I don't think there's any strong arming. It's just we've lost some confidence there, and we need to be ensured, and all of Georgians need to be ensured, that our election, and especially this recount, and more importantly, the audit, is done according to the law and with utmost integrity.
And Congressman, I don't mean to put you on the spot here, so if you don't know the answer, I completely get it. So let's just say that the Secretary of State in Georgia just completely ignores all of that, and the disputed vote goes before the state legislature for ratification. Is there something the legislature can do? Can they step in at that point?
Well, they can, and I've been talking to some of the members of the legislature to open their own investigations into what's going on, as far as to make sure, first of all and foremost, that that only legal ballots are counted, and every legal ballot is counted, and every illegal ballot is thrown out. And in that process, you have to determine, all right, here's some that are questionable. We need to make sure every questionable ballot is put aside, and then it is given the utmost scrutiny. We need to make sure that's happening. So we've asked the legislature to look into it. The legislature even has, under the Georgia Constitution, the ability, if they believe that there is enough questions about the validity of the election itself, to throw out the results and appoint their, and the legislature actually appoint the electors. So there is a lot of authority that the legislature can, that does have moving forward. Now, what they're going to do, I'm uncertain.
But they do have that authority.
They do. So we, and you know, there's time constraints too, because the General Assembly doesn't go back into session until the first Monday in January. So they're going to, you know, that could be getting a pretty late time frame for the new legislature to come in, so that some of the committees can start working on it, and there may need to be a special session called. Of course, the governor would have to call that.
And by the way, the governor has been very quiet here. You know, Pennsylvania's governor calling press conferences about every day. Is there a strategy here? Where is the governor standing on all of this? I mean, I've seen some of his tweets, and he seems to be somewhat supportive.
Yeah, I think in the instance of my conversations with the governor as well as the attorney general of Georgia, they know that if this thing goes to court, they're part of the litigants in the case, and they realize anything that they say publicly can be used in those court cases. So I think what they're doing is kind of strategically, look, we're just going to lay low, try to let the process go forward, so that, you know, if we come out too vocal, lawyers could use that to hurt the case going forward. And I think that's where they are, because I know they're both very good Christian conservatives, and they do want this to have the proper and right outcome.
And you know what's on the line here? I mean, it's fascinating. Stacey Abrams coming out just a few days ago saying she's got more than 600,000 people asking for mail-in ballots for the January election. I mean, Congressman, we know what's coming.
Oh, it's going to be a repeat of what we have right now. And to make it even worse, they're actively out there promoting voter fraud. Stacey Abrams, some other organizations are encouraging people to move to Georgia to actually vote in the election. That is a felony in Georgia. If you move to the state with just the purpose of registering and voting, that is a felony, because one of the criteria is for you to vote in Georgia is to be a citizen of Georgia, which includes permanency. That means you're coming to the state to live in that state. If somebody comes into the state and votes in that election and leaves, then they've committed a fraud of or a felony of voter fraud. And further than that, the state is also Secretary Raffensperger came out today and said that they would actually go after these organizations using the RICO statutes. So at least they're taking a hard stance in that direction. But yeah, the Democrats are desperate, because the future of our country is on the line in Georgia right now.
You're absolutely right. Well, Congressman, a lot of information, and we really appreciate you coming on the program. I know we'll get you back. We're actually taking our show on the road. We'll be in Georgia. A lot of the radio stations around that state carry this program, and a lot of great patriots in that part of the country.
Yes, there are. When there are people from all over the country, good patriots, conservatives, coming to Georgia to help out in any way that we can. And we must, for our children and grandchildren's sake, we must win both of these Senate elections.
You're absolutely right. All right, Congressman Barry Loudermilk, ladies and gentlemen, from the great state of Georgia. Congressman, thank you. Folks, the congressman said it so well. Everything is on the line here. Everything is on the line. Now, the news nugget coming out of this interview is that under the Georgia Constitution, the state legislature does have the authority to disregard the election results if the election is disputed, and they can actually appoint their own slate of electors to the Electoral College. So this is a pretty significant development. But clearly, they're already starting to think along those lines. As the congressman said, we don't know what they're going to do, but this is what they are allowed to do under the Georgia Constitution. The question at this point, if, I mean, and again, we're looking at a disputed election in Georgia, What will happen in places like Arizona? Will the state legislature there follow suit? What will happen in places like Wisconsin and Michigan, where the votes are incredibly close, and also the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania? But it's another story there because there's, you know, the Democrat control of that state. A lot going on here. My question, though, what do you want these lawmakers to do? If it comes, you know, push comes to shove in Georgia, would you want the state legislature to step in and appoint a pro-Trump slate of electors? That's what's going to happen. If it goes to the state, that's exactly what's going to happen. 844-747-8868. Give us a call. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
So, you know, a lot of attention being focused on the presidential count in Georgia, but this Senate race with Raphael Warnock, man, this guy is a radical leftist. He wants to open up all the jails and set everybody free. He said in 2019, calling for the mass release of prisoners, says somebody's got to open up the jails, let our children go. He also called for the creation of a militant church. Oh, this guy is also a raging, raging anti-Semite. And Alan Dershowitz, writing over at Breitbart, says Warnock's anti-Israel views could cost Democrats the Senate. That's how far to the left Warnock is. You know, he's a disciple of Jeremiah Wright. Remember the chickens coming home to roost? The KKK of America, whatever that was. Anyway, the guy's a lefty. What do you expect? I mean, folks, really, you need to understand what's at stake here. This is just unbelievable. Just the fact that this president is having to fight tooth and nail for a second term, it's beyond me. All right, let's get to the phones. Cornelia, Georgia, Tom hanging out with us today. All right, Tom, what's on your mind today?
All right, Todd, we'll hope all y'all are safe and well, and happy Thanksgiving and Merry Christmas while we can still say that.
Indeed.
Or at least not feel bad about it. But that's not why I called. Okay, so I'm looking for stuff to buy for, you know, what I need around the house and elsewhere that's made in America, which is sometimes challenging. So here's my suggestion for you to consider and for your listeners to consider. Buy something that's American that you need, and then give away the thing that you replaced with that new purchase. Give it away to charity over the holidays, and just make sure that whatever you buy is made in America. So we've got three things, a threefer, not a twofer, but a threefer. One is we help the mom and pop companies, and we bought it in a local store most likely, which I went out of my way to do. So we help the American economy in spite of the fact that they want to funnel us all into Walmart. And which is another whole topic, but we help our local vendors, our local mom and pop places. We buy an American product. We send a message to China that we don't want your junk. And there was one other component to that. I don't know, but you know, I'm sure that you and your listeners can figure out where I'm going.
Yeah,
with this.
Tom, there's
and we improve our economy. We improve our economy despite Biden wanting to shut it down.
Well, look, there's a terrific website called madeinamerica.co, not com, but .co, madeinamerica.co. And they have links to lots of different stores around the country that are, you know, that have great products for sale. And, you know, we actually implemented that policy here at Starnes Media Group. That's the parent company that owns this radio program. And we own a radio station in Memphis. And we buy American. And even beyond that, we buy local. So if we're, you know, if you walk into our building, you're going to see things here that were made here in the Mid-South. And I think that's an important thing for us to do. Tom, it's a great reminder. And what a great idea. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Carlotta in Rhode Island. Oh, Grace, turn your microphone on. I think Miss Carlotta has some marriage advice for you. Hi, Carlotta.
Yeah, she would not tell me what it was on the phone, so I'm really curious.
All right, Carlotta.
This was given to me by an aunt of mine 60 years ago. These two bits of advice and has stood me in good stead through two marriages. The first one is always wear rubber gloves when you're doing dishes or heavy cleaning and keep hand lotion at the sink. And the second one is have a few pair of earrings that make you feel beautiful. And as soon as you get out of the shower every morning, before you choose your outfit, before you get dressed, well, three pieces actually, before you get dressed, change your earrings every day and feel beautiful. And the third one is, remember, you became a spouse or a wife before you become a parent. That's when the kids come along. And your husband will follow your advice. If he sees that he's more important to you than anything, you will always be more important to him.
Okay, so the third one makes perfect sense to me. Now, the first two, I'm a little confused how that helps in a marriage, especially the rubber gloves.
You'll keep your hands beautiful.
Ah, so it's just maintaining that.
Soft hands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's a good habit to get into because, you know, you probably never did much housework before. But so you might as well get into that habit of keeping your hands lovely and always feeling beautiful and always valuing your spouse as number one.
Feel beautiful, look beautiful, right?
Carlotta, what a great idea. That's terrific advice.
It is.
Good.
All right, Miss Carlotta from Rhode Island. Oh, we got a skedaddle for the news. Miss Carlotta, God bless you. And thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thank you.
Folks, if you have advice, so number one, I thought it was funny, the pastor, Pastor John's the one that said you need a prenup.
Man, I know. He's going to doom and gloom. I was like, whoa.
So you got to get yourself some gloves, rubber gloves, and hand lotion so you can have soft hands.
Yes.
You know, otherwise you can use the palm olive, and that's supposed to, like, do the same thing.
Yeah. You know, I'll be cooking a lot more, so.
Mm-hmm. All right. So if you've got marriage advice, Grace Baker, just back from the honeymoon, newlywed in the building, 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.